Well, have you ever met someone you thought had a really funny name? You know, when we were kids, we sometimes would tease people about their names, which of course is rude and immature. But nonetheless, some people really have funny names. And I came across a list of real people who had some really funny names, names that kind of make you wonder, what were their parents thinking? And so just for fun, as we start out here, here are some examples of really funny names, real names that are funny. The first one is Alma, and she has a funny name. Her name's Almanac. And that kind of sounds like an old know-it-all, doesn't it? Who wants to have a friend named Almanac? Who wants to hang out with a know-it-all? And then there's Robin, and you don't want to hang out with him. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, but I think they'd be a bad influence because they're Robin Banks. That's not a good person to hang out with. And then there's Rick, and Rick's pretty resilient because nothing sticks to Rick. He's Ricochet. Ricochet. Now, you don't want to get into a car accident with this lady because she's Sue You. That's bad news. You want to go on. And then there's Tim, and he sounds like a pretty neat guy. His name is Timber. There we go, Timber. Kind of sounds like an outdoorsy kind of guy. Hey, Timber. Now, I love this next one. This is a guy that would be interesting to hang out with, especially in the morning when you have breakfast. Crispy Bacon. That sounds good. Crispy Bacon, that's my favorite. Now, this next lady, Tara, I kind of feel sorry for her because I think with this name, she'd have a really hard time finding a husband. Pterodactyl. Who would marry someone who's a pterodactyl? I don't think I would want that. And then this one, Joe, he's the life of the party. His name is Joe King. Who is he? He's Joe King. He's always Joe King. Well, I was thinking about names because being a pastor and having the last name Shepherd, I often get teased a little bit. People often ask me if I'm the Good Shepherd, and I always give them the same answer. No, I'm not the Good Shepherd. I try to be a Good Shepherd, but I'm not the Good Shepherd. I'm not the Good Shepherd because the word the, T-H-E, the definite article, refers to a specific person. It refers to one person and one person alone. In this case, that person is Jesus. In John 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. Hey, I'll do my best to be a good shepherd, but only Jesus is the good shepherd. This morning, we're continuing the sermon series called Rediscovering Jesus. We're taking a closer look at Scripture so we can know Jesus better. And not only know him, just to know about him, but to know him personally. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just discovering who Jesus is, my hope is that you'll take the time to rethink and reconsider and rediscover Jesus. So far in this series, we've looked at Jesus, the eternal Word, Jesus, the Lamb of God, Jesus, the bread of life, and Jesus, the light of the world. Today, I'm concluding the series by looking at Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Knowing Jesus as the Good Shepherd will hopefully be an encouragement to you. I hope it'll give you a sense of security and great confidence, because every one of us needs a sense of direction. There are many voices out there in the world calling for our attention. There are the voices of our peers. There are the voices on social media. There's the voices of pop culture and Hollywood celebrities and advertisers. There's even the voices of racists and political self-interest groups, the voices of scoffers and mockers, and even the voice of the devil and the voice of our own sinful nature, all trying to lead us one direction or the other. And that's just to name a few. When listening to the wrong voices, it's really easy for us to lose our way. A story ran in the Washington Post about some shepherds in the country of Turkey who watched in shock as hundreds of their sheep followed each other over a cliff. First, one sheep wandered away and fell to his death. Eventually, the entire flock followed the one in the lead. In the end, more than 400 sheep were dead. Believe it or not, we humans are much the same. We make the same mistake. 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words. He said, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Like wayward sheep, we followed the crowd instead of following the shepherd, and to our own demise, I might add. Each one of us is in need of some direction. We need someone whom we can follow. And the good news is that we have someone who is like no other. And Jesus is calling to each one of us this morning to come and to follow him. I'd like to read from John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about himself being our good shepherd. So starting in verse 1, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. So the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep." Throughout this sermon series, our objective has been to rediscover Jesus, to reconsider what the Bible teaches us about who he is. And here we have Jesus telling us his own words who he is. He tells us, "I am the good shepherd." And in this simple metaphor, he reveals to us a lot about his character. He reveals one of his great divine attributes. He tells us that he is good. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God is good all the time and all the time that God is good? We say that, but do we always believe it? I mean, let's face it, there are catastrophes in this world, injustices, and hard times in life. And there are times when we simply might say, you know, I don't understand what God is up to. And that's okay, because I'm not asking you if you understand everything that God does or doesn't do. But do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God is good all the time and all the time that God is good? The psalmist wrote, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." The psalmist declares that God is good, but not everyone believes that. In fact, goodness was probably the first attribute of God to be attacked in human history, the first attribute to be questioned, the first to be doubted. Remember the story in Genesis when the serpent came to Eve in the Garden of Eden to tempt her with the forbidden fruit. God had told them that they could eat from any tree in the garden except for one. And he warned them that if they eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they would surely die. And yet, the serpent convinced Eve to eat it anyway. How did he do that? How did he convince her to risk it all? Well, he attacked God's character. He put a seed of doubt in her mind. He tempted her to doubt God's goodness. "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. In other words, God is not being honest with you, Eve. He hasn't told you the truth. He's not trustworthy. He goes on to say, "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." You see, Eve, God is oppressing you. He's holding back good things, things that will make you happy and powerful. What kind of God would do that? Surely not a good one. And the Bible tells us the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit was delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it could give her. And so she took some of the fruit and ate it. And then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. And the human race has been challenging God's goodness ever since. I mean, come on, how can a good God allow evil to exist? Or if he's so good, then how come there's disease and pain and suffering and poverty and hunger and prejudice and greed and war and catastrophes? We question God's goodness when the truth is all suffering and evil in this world is the result of the fall of man. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Today, many question God's goodness because there's suffering and evil in the world, when actually it all came into the world because people doubted God's goodness in the first place. In the Garden of Eden, they doubted God's goodness, and now suffering and evil exists because they ate the forbidden fruit. We may not always understand what God is up to, but we always need to understand that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Deuteronomy 32:4 declares, "He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is." You see, if we're going to follow Jesus, it's important to understand and believe that he is good. Because you can't put your faith in someone if you don't trust them. And you can't really trust someone if you don't believe that they're good. For example, would you ask a thief to guard your house? Would you confide in someone who gossips? Would you ask a glutton to hold your nachos? I don't think you would. If you did, you'd probably be sorry. But God isn't like that. You can trust Jesus not to eat your nachos because he is good. The psalmist praised God saying, "You are good and do only good." Goodness isn't just what God does, it's who he is. God is good through and through, and all his acts are the outflow of his goodness. Goodness is an essential characteristic of who God is, and his goodness embraces all his other attributes. When his goodness gives unconditionally and sacrificially, it's love. When his goodness shows kindness to the guilty and undeserving, it's grace. When it shows patience towards those deserving punishment, it's mercy. When it reveals to us the way things really are, it's truth. When it doesn't hold our sin against us, it's forgiveness. When the Bible says God is good, it's referring to all these qualities and more. So Jesus is more than just a shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to learn to trust him. And you can only do that if you believe he's good. Goodness is the first part of the metaphor. The second part is that he is a shepherd to us. So in what way is Jesus a good shepherd to us? Well, three things jump out to us at us from this text. First of all, Jesus knows us personally. Look again at verses 3 and 4. "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice." A little further down in verse 14, he tells us, "I know my own sheep." Shepherds in the Middle East are a little different than shepherds in our Western world. Here we tend to ranch livestock. Our sheep are kept in pastures with fences or in pens. But in the Middle East, their pastures have no fences, and the shepherds stay with the sheep night and day, leading them. In the Middle East, the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows the year the sheep was born, the circumstances of its birth, if it's broken any bones, which diseases it's susceptible to, which food it doesn't digest well, which animals it doesn't get along with, its temperament, if it tends to wander or fight or to follow. A shepherd really knows his sheep. And this is also true of Jesus. And we can believe him when he says that, "I know my sheep." We see this in the gospel stories. Remember when a seeker named Nathanael came to meet Jesus? And as they approached Jesus, he said to them, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." And Nathanael was shocked and he said, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you when you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Jesus was watching Nathanael and he knew the condition of his heart. The same way Jesus knew that a fisherman named Simon had leadership potential. He knew that the woman at the well had been married 5 times and was living with a man that wasn't her husband. He knew that the rich young ruler had a problem with money. And he knew the religious leaders were turning him over out of envy. Jesus knew people. And he knows you. He knows your past and your childhood. He knows your achievements and the mistakes that you've made. He knows the circumstances of your birth and if you've broken any bones and who you get along with and what temptations you're vulnerable to. He knows what you did last night and he knows what's worrying you about the upcoming week. He knows the condition of your heart towards him right now, whether you're skeptical or curious or obedient. He is the good shepherd because he knows you. David wrote in the Psalms, "O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. No one knows the sheep like the good shepherd knows his sheep. And no one knows you like Jesus knows you. He examines your heart, and he knows everything about you. He is never distant from you. He is always closer than you think. And you have never been overlooked. Instead, he calls you by name. And that's why you're here today. Because somewhere along the way, Jesus called your name and you began to follow. And so when Jesus says, I know my sheep, we can be confident that Jesus knows us personally. The second thing we learn about the Good Shepherd is that Jesus cares for us faithfully. He cares for us faithfully. In verse 10, he said, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus tells us that the good shepherd has a purpose. And his purpose is to give his sheep, to give us a rich and satisfying life. And that's why he leads them to quiet waters and green pastures, because he cares for them. And that's what we need. Someone who will care for us, who knows our needs and will tend to them. Someone who will offer us comfort when we're hurting and give us guidance when we're lost. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus told this parable. He said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. And this is the kind of tender affection that God has for you. He watches over you. He takes care of you. He looks out for you, and he seeks after you. Now, there may be some here today thinking, hey, Rob, how can you say he watches out for me? I don't see it. I don't feel it. So where is he? Have you ever thought like that? I know at times I have. But you know, that's just like a sheep to say something like that, isn't it? Especially a wandering sheep, out in the wild, facing the elements and danger of attack, hungry, afraid, cold, and disappointed, thinking, look at the mess that I'm in right now. Where is that so-called shepherd? I want you to know that if you've wandered off, he's looking for you. If you've made mistakes, he's looking for you. If you're alone and afraid and you're feeling that you've lost your way, he's looking for you. And so listen for his voice because he's calling your name. And there are a lot of voices out there that people turn to for wisdom and encouragement. Jesus warns us that the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Unfortunately, many people today turn to popular opinion for answers instead of to the Bible. Even as Christians, we can make the mistake of being led by our feelings instead of being led by the Spirit of God. What we have to be careful of is what leads us, or we'll be led by our insecurities, or led by our fears, or led by our egos. What we need is a good shepherd, someone who can really care for each of us personally, someone who can hear every prayer, someone with the power and wisdom to respond to every problem or question. A shepherd who knows what's right for each person in each situation. A shepherd whose presence is real and personal and makes a difference in all of life's experiences. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows us personally. He cares for us faithfully, and he also saves us sacrificially. In verse 9, he says, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved." And later on in verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. Sheep spend most of their time in the wilderness, where they're likely to get lost or be attacked by wolves or lions. But a good shepherd doesn't run from danger. In fact, he will turn toward the threat and fight it with his bare hands. And that's the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. He saves, and he sacrifices his life for his sheep. For example, just think of the people that Jesus saved. He saved Simon Peter from a small and wasted life. He saved Zacchaeus from greed and loneliness. He saved Mary Magdalene from the demons that tormented her. He saved the Samaritan woman from a life of promiscuity and abuse. He saved the Apostle Paul from legalism and empty religion. He saved them, and he also saves us. He's already saved many of us from things like alcoholism, from a prison of bitterness, a life of hopelessness, helplessness, and egotism, and from a Christless eternity. He saved us by laying down his life. He bore the weight of our sins on his shoulders and absorbed the sting of death in his body on the cross. The Son of God became the Lamb of God. He became one of the sheep and was slain for the sins of the world. Sometimes you'll hear it said that if you were the only lost soul on earth, that Jesus would have gone to the cross just for you. It's an outrageous suggestion when you think about it, but this passage tells us that it's true. He is the good shepherd who knows, who cares, and he will stop at nothing to save one lost sheep. There's a longing in the human heart for someone to know us and to care for us, someone wiser and stronger, someone who understands and who can meet our needs. It's the yearning for a shepherd, not a flawed and fallible human shepherd, but the good shepherd, God's Son, who lays down his life for the sheep. And there's only one good shepherd who knows you, who cares for you, and who saves you. Only one who calls us by name and offers life, life to the full. This morning, if your life is in Jesus, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, then today you can say that the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to invite the worship team to come this morning as we pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that you would examine our hearts and lead us by your Spirit. And we confess to you that there are times when our hearts wander, that we listen to other voices and go astray. We ask that you'd forgive us for that, Lord, and that you'd help us to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd this morning leading us, that we would be on the right path, that we would receive all the good things that come from the Good Shepherd today. Lord, we ask that you ignite in our hearts a passion for Jesus. We ask that our hearts would be completely devoted to you. Jesus, you are the eternal Word. You are the Lamb of God. You are the bread of life. You are the light of the world, and you are the Good Shepherd. And we give you praise this morning. Lord, we declare that you are good. You alone are good. And we put our trust in you. And Lord, we want to have hearts devoted to you this morning, that we could just love you and have a passion for you, that we would be transformed, Lord God. And Lord, pray that power just work through us today, your transforming power, and lead us into that more intimate relationship with you as we learn to love you more. We ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You stand.